God tonight for salvation, and we have a message. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about encouraging us not to doubt God's promises in the Bible. We usually go from the side of having faith in God, and that's the message. But we want to kind of go on the other side of don't doubt. Do not doubt God. And one thing I wanted to say that the Lord really encouraged me about was there's some things in here in the Bible, and there's some beliefs that we have that we do not have one doubt about. And that really encouraged me because I thought we do not doubt that Jesus is our Savior. We do not doubt that there is a God. I hope there's not anyone in here that doubts that there is a God. And I hope that everyone in here believes that Jesus was born a babe, a Virgin Mary, and was died on the cross, and his blood saves us from sin. And that really encouraged me. Because, you know, a lot of times when we're encouraged on something, we think, oh, did I doubt that? Did I doubt that? But there's certain things that we do not doubt at all. We want to start reading some scriptures in St. Matthew in the 14th chapter, in the 23rd verse. This is a familiar scripture about Peter walking on the water. When Jesus had sent the multitudes away, what this is talking about, Jesus, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Now, you know, there's certain things in life that we are going to have fear because we're human. And we're going to even battle maybe sometimes doubts and fears. But God wants us to come to a place where we can trust him in those times. And ask the Lord to increase our faith. And you know, what was so special about this was a normal reaction. If you were in a boat and you saw someone walking on the water, that is abnormal. That's something we can't do. Human beings cannot walk on the water. Try it. Cannot do it. Unless Jesus gave you the power to do it, you couldn't do it. He gave Peter the power. It's a supernatural thing that happened that day. He gave him the power to walk on the water. So when the disciples saw this was normal for them to be troubled. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. You know, I just loved Peter. Peter was so, I don't know, full of excitement. He was just ready to just jump right in there, wasn't he? And he said, come, Jesus said. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, when he was walking on that water, like I said before, that was something that we just cannot do in ourselves. We'll just sink. But Jesus was there. He caused him to walk on the water. It's just like us, dear ones. In our life, there's things that we cannot get the victory over except the Lord is causing us to walk on that spiritual water. The Lord has given us the power. The Lord has given us, like we heard a little bit ago when Brother Philip was exhorting us about being redeemed by the blood. That's just something. We cannot live free from sin without the blood of Jesus. And, you know, it says here, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of not sure how to pronounce that word, but, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Took a lot of faith, didn't it, for the crowd? But they believed if they just touched the hem of the Lord's garment, they were made perfectly whole. But anyway, we want to go back to what Peter there has said. What did he do when he saw, the wind boisterous? He was afraid and began to sink. So what he did was he got his eyes off the Lord and got his eyes off from faith, and he began to look at the circumstance. He began to look that the wind was boisterous. The wind was something that a human being would be afraid of. And he got his eyes on that, and that's why he started sinking. So it is with us. We need to be very careful that we don't get our eyes on circumstances. Circumstances sometimes can be very unlovely. But you know, if we'll just keep our eyes on the Lord is God. He's a great God. And our circumstances will change. If we'll just keep faithful and keep our faith on God, God will take us through. And you know, this is a lesson for us. Like Peter, when he began to look at the wind and saw that, he got his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. But I noticed that Peter right away called on the Lord. And what did he say? Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? You know, the Lord doesn't want us to doubt. This is the message tonight. Ask the Lord to help you not to doubt the Lord, because the Lord is going to help us. You know, this really helps us in life if we keep our faith in God. St. Luke 1, we want to read a little bit here about Zacharias. These are different scriptures, but Zacharias had a visit from the angel. He was a priest, and he went into the tabernacle there to burn the incense. And the people were outside praying, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gabriel, and began to visit with him. Now, listen, if we had a visit from an angel, Gabriel, if you was to go home this evening and an angel came and visited you, would you believe what the angel told you? Or would you doubt his words? You know, this is just not a small thing to have a visit from an angel. But Zacharias doubted that. Now, saints, I want to encourage us tonight to keep our faith up. Some people might even say, oh, I don't know if you've ever been visited by an angel. We could be. The Bible says you can entertain angels unaware. Probably a lot of us have entertained angels and didn't even know it. The Bible says so. So this angel, though, said to him, he said, and Zacharias said unto the angel, well, let's read up there just a little bit ahead of that. It says, let's read here the 11th verse of the first chapter of Luke. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. That was a very natural reaction of a human being. But he didn't have to go into the doubting. That was not right for him. He should have believed God. He should believe the angel. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Excuse me. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, there was a lack of faith. First of all, you're talking to an angel. Second, the angel has got words from God. Two good reasons that you need to believe, right? But Zacharias didn't. How am I going to know this? You're going to know it because this is an angel. An angel from God talking to you. That's why you should know. You should just, there's certain things that we just know is true. And he said, how shall I know this? And the angel said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Now, we're not going to go on and read all of it. But, you know, after the child was being born, they wanted to name the child after his father. But he said, the angel told him what he wrote on paper. His name is John. But after that, he couldn't speak till the baby was born. That was his punishment for doubting. Lord, help us to believe in God. The 37th verse says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. I want you to say that in your mind, if you will, if you want to. For with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God nothing shall be impossible. When we get in tests and trials, quote that to yourself. With God nothing shall be impossible. Instead of battling so much in our minds with doubts and fears and unbelief, let's take God's word and fill our heart and mind with it and quote good scriptures to increase our faith. You know, that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to increase our faith. I want to turn over here to Acts, the third chapter, and we want to talk a little bit about Peter and John. Peter and John, it says here in the third chapter of Acts that Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, we were reading about Peter before of doubting and falling into the water because he didn't have faith. But here, Peter is having faith in God. It says here, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man was lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Oh my, he received something all right. He received something wonderful. He received healing. And I tell you, that was wonderful, wasn't it? And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but I have something great for you. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You just met two of God's disciples. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Isn't that wonderful? There's a story about Peter and John. And it says, I want to read just a little bit farther there. It says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus gave him healing that day through Peter and John. Peter had faith that day. Peter did. And you know, dear ones, there's sometimes that we may have a doubt or fear. We may be going through a test that we might have some of those battles. And then the next time we may have be full of faith. We're humans. But the Lord wants to encourage us to increase our faith. I remember one of Grandma's favorite scriptures was, Did I not say unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? We can see the glory of God when we see each other and realize that the blood of Jesus saved us from sin and changed our lives and made saints out of us. We see the glory of God in one another. We see the God in a lot of things, and it increases our faith. And you know, the longer I live for him, the more excited I am about the future. Because I really believe, you know, I mean, as I'm standing behind this pulpit, I know positively that there is a hereafter. I know positively that there's a heaven. I just know that. And you know, lots of times as we're walking in this veil of flesh, we have to walk a lot by faith. But we sing that song that says, my faith shall be lost in sight. One of these days, everything that we teach about, everything that we believe, everything that we have done by faith, it's going to be lost in sight, Sister Charlotte. We're going to see Jesus, and we're going to be in heaven. It's going to be wonderful. And I just want to encourage you tonight, have faith in God. Do not doubt God's promises. It's true. Acts 4 and 8 says here, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And now there is great power in the name of Jesus. When we pray for the sick, we anoint them in the name of Jesus. And it's Jesus' power. And there's great power in the name of Jesus. And any time that you may be afraid, you may be outdoors in the dark. You know, sometimes we may go outside for one thing or the other to take the trash out, or you may be outside for some reason. But you know, you may feel a little bit fearful. Maybe not a lot. But you know, you can just say, Lord Jesus, be with me. Be with me. And there's power in that. Jesus is with us. He is taking care of us. It's wonderful. There's power in his name. And it says here, it says, whom God raised from the dead. Jesus, God raised him from the dead. Do we believe that? Yes. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is our only way to heaven. He is the only name. There's no other name. You have the Lord Jesus and you believe in him. You do not doubt that. You hold on to God no matter come what may. You stay with the Lord. You stay with Jesus till you die and you will be safe. There's no other way to get to heaven. We've got to stay right with the Lord and right in his will. And over here in Acts 16, we want to read a little bit here. We want to read about Paul and Silas. You know, here they were in the 25th verse. Paul and Silas was in prison. And I'm telling you, you know, we did visit a couple times at the prison, but you know, it is a fearful thing when you go behind those doors, one after another, locked behind those prison doors. And you know, Paul and Silas were put in there. It would be a terrible thing. It would be a place where most humans would get down and have fears and doubts and battle those things. You know, that would be a normal thing to do, in a way, what I'm trying to say. But they were saints of God, and they knew they need to have faith in the Lord. And they knew that when they had troubles, they need to pray and sing. And they need to have faith in the Lord. This is an example to us. This is a bad place to be in, to be there. But they had faith in the Lord. And at midnight, what were they doing? It says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, you know, I'm sure that these prisoners that weren't saved were just marveling at these men, praying and singing. And, you know, they shouldn't be happy. They shouldn't be praising like the Lord, but they're just happy and they're praising the Lord because they knew the Lord and they had faith in the Lord. They wasn't given in to doubts and fears and unbelief. If we give in to those things, they're going to depress us. We're not going to be the lights that Jesus wants us to be. We've got to overcome those things. We've got to ask the Lord to help us, to give us faith. Lord, increase my faith. Give me faith in these times. Help me to praise you anyhow. Help me to trust in you. Help me to believe in you. You know, Paul and Silas prayed and sang, and it says suddenly, you know, God comes on the scene when you do that, when you believe in God, when you praise him. I remember one time in Michigan, I was terrible sick. And I was downstairs. We had a basement finished, and I was down there so I wouldn't wake Jerry, and I was praying and singing to the Lord. And I was suffering. I wanted to trust in the Lord, and I was praying to the Lord and singing to the Lord and doing the very best I could. And suddenly, the Lord started blessing my soul. And the pain didn't go away right then, but wasn't soon after that I was healed. But the Lord's presence came down. You know, God will come down and fill you. He will do something when you act right, when you do the right thing. You know, Paul says, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we all are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." You know, he made a believer, Paul and Silas, because of their actions and what God did that night, made a believer out of this man and his whole household. He saw God. And dear ones, it's the same with us. If we'll have faith in God and not doubt and keep the victory and sing praises to God and be what God, people are going to see that light and they're going to get a blessing from that. God is with us. God is with us. And you know, here it says here, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Praise God. You know, I just don't know what God's going to do when we have faith in him, when we believe in him. It's just wonderful, isn't it? We want to turn over here to Mark. I just want to encourage you tonight. The Lord's been talking to me for this for a couple weeks or so around that time. But anyway, the Lord's been talking to me about this. Have faith in the Lord. Don't doubt the Lord. And I try my very best not to doubt the Lord. because I know God is great, great and powerful. He can do anything. In Mark 9 and 17 it says, it's talking about the little child. The child that was just in trouble and had a dumb spirit. And it says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. You know, there's devil possession. There's people that have evil spirits. As saints, it's not our power, but it's the power through Jesus. We can rebuke those spirits, and they can be cast out of people. That's really true. And you don't want to have people in there that's fearful and doubting, things like that. No, you want to have faith in God. It's not you, but you know, and there's said, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. We know there's a righteous spirit and there's evil spirits. But this son had a problem, had an evil spirit. He answered him and said, faithless generation. Your disciples. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth. He was in a bad place, wasn't he? And pineth away, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. The disciples could not do it at that very time because they didn't have enough faith and they didn't doubt. They must have doubted and they didn't fast and pray, evidently, because Jesus said that. He answered him and said, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago, this is Jesus' word, since this came unto him? He said, of a child. And oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, this father's pleading, have compassion on us and help us. You know, this father loved his child. And this was terrible what he had been suffering with this thing, you know, seeing his son and this devil possessed. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And dear ones, that is us sometimes. That sometimes we really do believe, but you know, there's just a little bit of unbelief we're battling, you know. And he just wanted to make sure, Lord, you just told me that all things can be done if you believe. And I sure want to believe because I want my child to be healed. He said, if I have any unbelief, help that. You know, there would be nothing wrong with us praying that way. If we're battling doubts and fears about something, ask the Lord, Lord, I do believe. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you healed me many times. Or I believe you have worked out lots of situations in my life. And you're going to take care of this mountain in my life right now. I do believe, Lord. But if I have any unbelief, will you please help my unbelief? Will you please help me to have all the faith I need to have in you, God? Because you're a great God and you're worthy to be praised. And you're worthy to believe in. He is. He's worthy to believe in. And it says here, and Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more unto him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him up by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come unto the house, his disciples again asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, you know, this is teaching us that prayer and fasting, if we get into a problem, we can pray and fast. Doesn't that teaching us that we can have faith? And have more faith and have more power with God. We fast and pray. So, you know, remember this. If you get in a situation and you just need an answer from God and you're battling doubts and fears, fast and pray to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help your unbelief if you have any. Say, God, I don't even know if I have any. Maybe I don't know. I have all the faith. I know I believe in you. But if there's any there, Lord, just take it away and give me the faith you want me to have. And help me, Lord. Okay, we want to turn to Acts 27, please. You know, God wants to increase our faith. We're going to be in all kinds of situations in life, and we're going to need the Lord. I think Paul, in this shipwreck, in the 20th verse of the 27th chapter of Acts, it says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. Can you imagine being on a ship with no sun, no stars, couldn't even see the stars? All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I don't know. You know, sometimes we may come to a place in life. Wouldn't that be terrible to think that I'm not going to survive this one? This shipwreck or this car wreck or whatever it could be. But you know, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Isn't that something? He believed God. No matter if that ship was getting torn to pieces. How would you like to be on a ship where the walls were tumbling down? The boards in the floor were just breaking apart. Now, you know, it said that they just came in on the shore with boards, holding onto boards and things. It was a terrible thing, you know. But every one of them was saved because God's power. One time I was reading in the Streams in the Desert, either Streams in the Desert, one of those little books, and I was reading about a missionary that went over to somewhere, and he was in a shipwreck. And he had all these books that he was going to use. Big, maybe like, I don't want to say the wrong number, but it was a lot of books. I'll just put that. Lots of books. I thought it said about 300 books, but it was a lot of library he had. Lost it all in the shipwreck of one book. I'll tell you that. He stood on the shore and he thought, Lord, I know you sent me here. And look at all this trouble I'm having. Had a shipwreck, lost all my library. And he's standing there feeling very sad. Would you feel sad? Wouldn't you have some doubts and fears? It's human, wouldn't it be? He was praying to the Lord. But all of a sudden, he saw a book floating. And he saw that book. He says, oh, that book, that looks like my own Bible. And he just ran out there to the shore, and it just come right up to the shore to him. It was saved. He grabbed a hold of that, and he said, oh, God, out of all the library of my books, of all the books, you send me my Bible. That increased his faith. Then, no matter if he had troubles, he was okay because he knew God was with him. That's the same way it is with us. Sometimes we just have something and then God gives you something and it just helps your heart. Helped him that day, didn't it? Oh, the shipwreck. He said, but I believe God that it was be even as it was told me. Praise the Lord. Help us, dear Lord, to believe you. Romans 4. I have a lot of scriptures, but the Lord gave me these scriptures to share with you. You know, these scriptures, this is the word of God. God does not want us to doubt his promises. These promises work. I'm telling you something. I remember this. There's one scripture I have used times. I've had to go and pray for sick people that were deathly sick, that if I caught what they had, I could die. And I've been called in there at different times, and I used a scripture. The scripture said that, my mind's gone, that no plague, it's in Psalms 91, that no plague will come nigh my dwelling. I have used that scripture more than once. I've even used it when Jerry got terribly sick. And I lived with him, and I said, no plague will come nigh my dwelling. You don't care. And you know what? I did not get it ever that I remember. Not, you know, God forget, I cannot remember ever using that scripture and ever getting it. The Lord, and you say the common cold is very catching. The common cold, if you live with someone, is very catching. But if you claim that scripture, I took care of the little girls years ago, one time that I got impetigo somehow. And I think that's what that was called. And they had, and they got it, and Rhonda was a baby. And I told the girls, the other two had it pretty bad. I'd wash my hands constantly. I had to give them baths. I had to put them clothes on. I had to feed them. And I said, God, if I get that, we'll all be in trouble. Because I'm the mother. I have to take care of these children. And I used, the Lord never let me get it. It was a miracle. But one time I just had a little doubt there about the baby. And I was telling them, I said, don't touch that baby. I wouldn't let them touch the baby. And they just kind of took their hand and touched her nose. And she got it on her nose. But I was doubting. See, I was doubting. Don't touch the baby. And right where I doubted, she got it. But she never got it nowhere else. But you know, the Lord healed. But you know, when we use the scriptures, saints, we have power. We have promises. We have scriptures. We need to use these scriptures. We need to quote them. We need to say, I believe God. You said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Lord, I believe you. You said nothing is impossible with God. If you get in a place where you need something, use these scriptures to glorify God. There's power in the promises of God. You know, D.S. Warner, I mean, I'm just saying what he's quoted, but he said it in the Birth of Reformation, I believe it was, but somewhere that, or else I heard it, but I thought I read it, that he could take one scripture with his little finger and hold on to that scripture and swing over hell and back and never fall because that scripture was so powerful. But he was trying to bring out a thought that God's promises are true. Do not doubt God's promises. And take God's word, take those scriptures and use them. Because the Lord instructed me, because I thought, Lord, I'm going into some places I do not want to get sick. I do not want to get these things. And he said, well, there's a scripture for that. You know, if you quote that scripture and believe it and do not doubt. And I'll say, Lord, I'm not going in here just to get around sick people. I'm going to pray for them. And I pray that no plague will come nigh my dwelling. And I believe that I will not get this. And never have. And I'm not supposed to know myself. I'm not. God knows I'm not. I'm saying that it's power in his word. If we will take the scriptures and believe them, God will work. Jerry's grandmother had great faith. She taught me faith from the beginning. When I first got saved, she started instructing me to have faith in God. And that was her favorite scripture. One of them was, did I not say unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? I'll tell you, Grandma, I don't know if I've ever told you here. I might have sometime, but not very much. But the other day I was thinking about it, and I was sharing it with somebody. But she fell down the stairs, I believe it was, and broke her arm. Or somehow she broke her arm. I think it was falling down the basement stairs. She was up in age a little bit then, not. But anyway, when she went to get it set at the hospital, the doctor, and she just wanted them to set the bone, you know, and wrap it up for her, which, you know, I think that's fine. But when she got there, they said they'd have to do more. They said, no, we're going to have to cut your arm and put a plate in there. And Grandma just, she couldn't take that in. She couldn't go that far. Her faith in God just would not let her go that far. She said, I can't do that. Just wrap it up broken. And I'm going home to pray. Now I'm just sharing this with you. But they wrapped it up she said she went home and she suffered. And she suffered with it for a while. But she kept praying. She said, Lord, I can't go that route. I just cannot have them do that. And she said she had a dream one night. Praise God. And she dreamed that she was taking her arm and just swinging it all around. It was healed. And she woke up the next day and she told her daughter, Jerry's mother, about the dream. And she said, I'm going to be healed soon. And it was just real soon after that, just all of a sudden, she woke up one day, her arm was healed. She said, some of the saints remember, especially the older saints remember her. And she would come to the meetings and just wave her arm around like this and say, see, this is the arm that the Lord healed. Well, you know, it was because she didn't give up. She had faith in God. We get in the midnight hour sometimes. There will be some suffering sometimes. There will be some hard battles. And sometimes it looks like, I don't know where God is, but I know He's there. I know He's with me. And then all of a sudden, it's just like Paul and Silas. God came. Peter, remember when the church was praying for Peter? And he was in jail, and the angel appeared, and the chains fell off, and it went through the gate, went through another gate. And even Peter thought he was dreaming. When he finally came out of the prison, he said, oh, I'm not dreaming. The Lord has sent an angel and delivered me out of the prison. So he went to the house where the saints were praying and knocked on the door. And when Rhoda came to the door, she said, oh, it's Peter. And she was doubting and having unbelief. But that's what they were praying for. They were praying for God to deliver Peter. And she goes back in there and tells them, Peter's at the door. And they said, you're mad. You're just mad, Rhoda. Mad? That's what they were praying for. Now, isn't that just like us sometimes? Well, we're praying for God to get Peter out of the prison. He's at the door. Oh, you're mad. But they went, and sure enough, there was Peter. Come on in, Peter. Well, God did hear prayer. But let's be one of those that believe it. You pray for something, believe it's going to happen. Believe. You know, we don't have to work it out. We don't have to figure it out. Sometimes people, you know, this is an age of a lot of wisdom. And we have a lot of technology. And people want to use their brains and figure it all out and all that stuff. But, you know, God has got all power. He doesn't need us to figure it out. He doesn't need us to work it out. He doesn't need us. All He needs us to do is have faith in God. Don't worry about how God's going to work it out. We couldn't do it anyway. We can't do what God can do. And I was thinking about Devin. He died. And according to what the testimony, he died, and the Lord brought him back to life. The Lord brought him back to life. You know, that really gives me courage. Because I see others that's at death's door, and I figure, well, the Lord did it for Devin. Doesn't He teach in the Bible that He raised the dead? He raised the dead in the Bible. Wasn't that little girl that was about 12 years old? And him and a couple of the disciples went in there and the rest stayed out and he prayed. And the child, the little girl was dead and she rose and asked for some food. Well, if God did it, then we sing the song, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the scripture. And we sing the song, Jesus is just the same today. Then we do not believe that God can raise the dead if He wants to. No, surely He's not going to raise them all. No, it's not His way. It's not His purpose to raise everybody from the dead. But there are a few that will be raised from the dead. He desires to, through prayer, in answer to prayer, He can do it. He made us. He created us. Why could He not give us our breath back? There's nothing too hard for God. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. God can do anything. Praise God. Are not His promises true? Oh yes, it's true. I know His promises are true. Romans 4:18 says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Talking about Abraham, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, which I think she was around 90, They had a child. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us. These scriptures in the Bible, these stories read to you tonight, these promises are written for us. So we will have faith in God. So we will not doubt God. So we will believe that God can do anything for us. Because you know what? We're humans and we have problems and we get in troubles and we get sick and all kinds of things happen to our loved ones too. And we need to have faith. And you have faith in the Lord. It says, if we believe, but for us also, it was not written for his sake alone. That really encouraged me when I read that today. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And the first two verses of the next chapter, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, I just thank the Lord for his great mercy. There is one scripture, St. John 6:37. Many times at the altar when I'm praying for someone, this is a scripture I quote to them. St. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You know, when people come to the altar, sometimes they're crying, they're sad. Sometimes they're wanting salvation. Sometimes they're already saved. Sometimes they're wanting sanctification. Sometimes they just have a problem and something touched them in the message. But you know what? They need to know that when they come, that Jesus will not cast them away. We need to be encouragers, encouragers. And it says here, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Pardon? St. John 6:37. I quote that over and over to the dear people because I want them to know that you come to the Lord, you're going to get an answer. The Lord's hearing you. The Lord, you come to Jesus, he promised to give you the answer. Psalms 27:14. It says here, wait on the Lord. And we read the verse before that. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do you believe that the Lord has some goodness for you right here in this earth, on this earth? Right while you're living? Do you think he wants you to be happy and downcast and depressed and discouraged and all just problems all the time? Or do you believe that the Lord wants to give you blessings of happiness and goodness in the land of the living? The scripture says, I had fainted, or I had been downcast, or I would have been discouraged, you could say. I had fainted unless I believed. Unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, I really believe, and I've seen the goodness of the Lord in the land. I've seen the goodness of God in my life. I have seen the goodness of the Lord in my life. I have seen the goodness of the Lord in my children's life. I have seen the goodness of the Lord in my grandchildren. I have seen the goodness of the Lord with the saints of God. I have seen the Lord heal people. I have seen the Lord save people. I have seen the Lord sanctify people. I have seen God working with us in the land of the living. It's not all over there, but there is a lot over there waiting on us. But he's starting right here, giving us goodness and blessings. Wait on the Lord. Sure, you might have to wait a little bit. The scripture teaches waiting. I remember one time I read about Brother Warner. He was sitting there waiting for a train with another brother. But the other brother got kind of impatient because I don't know how long they had to wait for trains back then, but maybe they had to wait quite a while. And he got up and he started walking back and forth and back and forth. He just could hardly stand pacing back and forth because this train wasn't getting there. He finally said, "Brother Werner, doesn't this make you impatient waiting for this train?" He said, "You just sit there." And he says, "God bless you, brother." He said, "I haven't been impatient for, it was years." But that wasn't Brother Werner. It was Brother Werner, yeah. You said, "Well, what do you mean it wasn't Werner?" It was Brother Werner. It was God working in Brother Werner. It was the Lord giving him power not to be impatient. Some people say, well, I've even worked with people say, "Well, I was praying for patience." And, you don't have to do that. You just pray the Lord will help you with the patience you already have. Because, you don't need to pray for troubles. You don't need to pray for trials. You're going to have them anyways. Just ask the Lord to help you with the faith you do have, with the patience you do have. Lord, give me more, but give it. You know, I'm not saying you don't need to pray for more patience and virtue and things, but don't pray for troubles. Don't pray for trials. You know, pray that the Lord will use what you do have and help it to grow. That's what I mean. Some people get all under burdens about things like that. The Lord wants to bless you. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Now, you know, this is something the Lord has taught me, to try to have good courage. And I'll admit, there's been times in my life where the enemy tried to come along, but I never did give up my courage. I might be sad for a little bit. I might have to pray it through. But the Lord, give me courage. What did David do when he went up to Goliath? Goliath was mocking him. All he had was 5 little stones as far as some weapon and a sling. But he had the mighty God of Israel. And he said, "You cannot defy God anymore, giant. I'm going to throw this sling at you, this stone." But he asked God to bless what he did. That was the thing. It wasn't the stones. It wasn't the sling. It wasn't that. It was Jesus. The power of God was with him. He had courage to go out there and face Goliath. It takes courage sometimes, saint. You think, "Well, God just gives it all to me." Well, yeah, he gives it all to us, but we have to take the step of faith. We have to try. We have to go forward. We have to pray. I remember Brother Austis Wilson one time, he was teaching. He says, "Prayer is not so much for God, it's for you. It's for you. God wants you to pray. He wants you to work out your own salvation with fear. He's gave you everything to work with. He gave you all the Bible. He gave you all these promises. He gave you the blood of Jesus. He gave you the sweet Holy Spirit. He gave you everything that you need, but he needs you to work with it." Take it, apply it, believe it, don't doubt it. Have faith in God. I can have faith in God because God gives me faith. Say it. You know, instead of murmuring, complaining, and groping around and saying, "I'm depressed." Don't ever say you're depressed. Don't ever accept that spirit. I was reading one time where this brother was working, this one of the older brothers back in the, before the Anderson movement, you know, back in the D.S. Warner's time, somewhere in there. It might have been Brother Byram, I'm not sure. But anyway, the sister, she went to him and said, "I am so depressed and down and discouraged all the time. I don't know how to get the victory." Well, he never was down and discouraged. And I say, by God's grace, and you can ask my husband, I'm really not down and discouraged ever. I say, "Sister Marsh, you better watch it." I mean, I pray to the Lord. It's not me. I pray to the Lord and he lifts my burden. And he helps me have courage. I just won't accept that. I don't have to accept it. I am a child of God. I am a child of the King. But this is so the brother's saying, I don't know how to help this sister because I'm never discouraged and down and depressed. And now really, it's a little hard for me to work with people like that because I just don't know how to do it. All I can tell them, you've got to be encouraged. You just can't give into this. And it almost sounds like I'm going to be a little hard on them. I'm not mean that way. But
You just can't do it. You can't do it. You can't give in to that. You have to fight. You're a soldier of the cross. You've got to fight. It's a spiritual warfare. Take hold of the promises of God. Believe in them. You know, anyway, so he thought he'd go lay down in his study there, and he thought he'd just say, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged. I'm down, and I'm just discouraged and depressed. And he kept doing that for a long time so he could know how to help her. That he was very unwise. Until the spirit of the enemy come towards him, the spirit of depression. He got under it for a little bit. Oh, he didn't want it. He was so scared of it. And he said, oh, God, forgive me, Lord. I'll never say it again. I'll never say I'm depressed. I'll never say I'm discouraged. He asked the Lord to forgive him, and he told her, he said, don't give in to that spirit. Well, we don't have to go down to try to help somebody. We need to lift them up. Lift them up. Well, we want to finish up here. But these scriptures, wait on the Lord. We're going to have to wait. Don't get discouraged when you got to wait for a while for an answer. I don't know. I really understand everything, how God works completely. I understand some of it. But I understand that he does teach in the Bible about waiting. If God just answered every little thing that we constantly just like this, we would probably be spoiled children. But the Lord has a purpose in us waiting. He wants to test our faith, maybe. Maybe he wants to see what we're made of. You know, he did with Abraham, didn't he? Now I know that thou lovest me because you're willing to give your only son, your promised son, to me. Now I know that you really love me. Well, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Take note. I'm going to turn just a little bit more here in Mark. I want you to remember, how do you overcome doubts? That's what this message is. How do you have faith in God? Recall to your mind past miracles. This will increase your faith. If you forget, sit down, write it on paper if you have to. Think about it. Pray to God. Thank him for healing you way back when. Thank you for answering prayer, that situation, Lord. Thank you for the miracle I've seen in somebody. And it will start increasing your faith. And you'll come out of that down feeling. You'll start feeling encouraged. Read God's word. Read these scriptures. Read these stories. Read books about faith. How many of us in here have books about faith? Willison Brown, Infidel. He was saved and converted, and the Lord gave him the gift of healing. Susag, Brother Susag's book is wonderful about faith. Lots of stories in there about faith. Read them to your children. Increase your faith. Read these good books that we have. Many good books like that. And listen to messages on faith. And read God's word and pray for faith. Pray that God will help you all the way. In Mark 6, think about the miracle of the loaves. We won't read all of that, but we know the story, how the Lord had them sit down. And he did a miracle with 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. It says, they did all eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men, the 44th verse. And there's another scripture, it may be another part of the Bible. It says, and women and children. With 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, he fed a multitude. Now, I have heard some testimonies among us, and maybe Sister Charlotte might remember some, but there was a sister somewhere among the saints. She told about how she would make a pot of something for supper, and there was not enough for the company. And God increased it before her eyes.
when she started serving it, whether it was soup or whatever it was, you may not remember. But I do remember the saints telling me about it, and it's a true story. When she started giving this to her company, she was concerned about running out. It started just multiplying before her eyes. She fed them all. They had all that they wanted, more than enough, and there was still some left. Do you think that God can do that for us? Do you think that God could supply our need if we really got in a place where we needed extra? There's stories about cars, you know, and people kind of laugh and chuckle about, but it's the truth. I really believe it's the truth that sometimes God has helped us to go on hardly any gas at all, or if any, I don't know. I remember we've gone way low. I mean, like, way low. And I just see a gas station way up there, and I don't know how we're going to make it. But I said, Lord, help this car to go. If you have to go without gas, help it to go. And you know, the Lord has helped. One time we was going to a revival over there in Green Pastures one night, and Jerry and I ran out of gas. And we were sitting on the stop sign, and it was immediately, it was like the angel of the Lord came. We ran out of gas, and the man pulls up, and he says, you need gas? And he goes and takes our little lid off our tank and start pouring gas in there. I said, Jerry, what is he? He's an angel? What is he? It was, you know what he told us? He says, I live here, and I just go around watching for people if they get out of gas, and I fill up their tank. Well, whatever, he was like an angel to us. He just filled it up, and we went on to surface and got there on time. It was wonderful. Oh, God is so good. I know there's miracles in here. We need to have a prayer meeting night where we just talk about miracles. I think it would be in order. I really do. There's nothing wrong with praising the Lord. In order, always in order. Thank the Lord. Well, Mark 6 and 47, it says, and then when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone in the land. He saw them tolling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, about the fourth watch of the night. But what I wanted to read this for, I started out with that scripture, the 52nd verse, it says, in the 51, it says, and when he went up into them, into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. This had went through the miracle of the two fish and the five loaves of bread. That's why I'm reading this again at the end. Just had went through that. And then Jesus, they're so amazed and so wondering. You know, what's wrong with us? I mean, we need to have faith in the Lord. We need to, when we see the miracles and God answers our prayers, we're like, oh my, it really happened. God really answered prayer. Isn't that something? And you know, God, of course he's going to do it. Praise God. It says here, and Jesus said, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They just had got through that. How come they couldn't believe Jesus could walk on the water if he could feed 5,000 people with a little bit of food? See, it's almost like the Lord's telling us today, you've seen me. I've saved your soul from sin. I delivered you. I gave you the Holy Spirit. I've healed you. You've seen other people be healed. Now you're having this little trial and you're going, oh God, please help us again. Oh Lord, please, where are you? Maybe we ought to be saying, praise God. You did this, Lord. You did that. And you're going to help me through this. Maybe we need to change our little praying a little bit. Oh, maybe we need to praise him more. And I'm going to leave this last scripture with you in St. John 20. Poor doubting Thomas. But you know, I believe that what I heard, I believe he became one of the first missionaries to India. So, you know, just because he doubted that one day, don't mean he was just not the Lord's disciple. Just because we have a fear or doubt, I'm trying to encourage you tonight, you know, don't get... I've had to battle it sometimes, you know, but I have faith in God. I do. But God can take you, increase your faith. He can increase my faith. You know, Thomas, And St. John 20 and 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side." This was after he resurrected. "The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Do you remember that song? Oh, send I you. It's a beautiful song. Send I you. So send I you. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except..." Now, you know, this is another lesson for us. Sometimes other people tell us things. They tell us, you know, God worked this miracle for me, and he did such and such. Do we really believe them? Or are we sitting here looking and thinking, I had someone, I didn't go to the doctor, and I told him I had heart trouble back in the 80s, and the Lord healed me. And they said, "Well, you never went to the doctor, so how do we know you really did have that trouble?" Now, they weren't saved. They weren't, you know, they were among us, but they weren't saved. I said, "Well, you know, you can believe whatever you want to believe. I know that the Lord healed me because I know how I felt, and I know I had to sit in a chair to brush my teeth. I could barely move. And I know the pain I was having in my heart, down my left arm. And for a month, I was just laying on the couch, and the girls had to wash my hair. I was weak, so weak because my heart was giving out. But the Lord came and gave me healing. 25 years later, I'm still going. Praise the Lord! Do you believe? Or are you going to say, "Well, Sister Marsh, you know, with doctors, how do we know?" See, you don't want to do that. You don't want to doubt. You want to believe. Huh? Praise God! You want to believe that the testimony is true. But you know, Thomas says, "I'm not..." They said, the other disciples therefore said, "We have seen the Lord." And I'm sure they were very excited about it. But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. Do you think God heard Thomas what he said? Yes. Do you think he hears us if we doubt and have fears? Sure, he's hearing. He's listening to everything. And it said, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. But you know, Jesus came with great love to Thomas. He wanted him to believe. That's the way it is with tonight. He wants us to believe. Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger." He knew exactly what Thomas had said. "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." He believed, didn't he? Oh, saints, we do believe, don't we? We don't we believe in God? Yes, we do. We will see Jesus one of these days in our flesh, our new flesh, our new spirit. We will see God. Do we believe that? Yes. And Thomas said, and Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's us. That's us. We're blessed people. Pray for me. I want the Lord to help me and increase my faith.